Welcome to episode 544 of Salcedo Paranormal, and tonight I'm sharing true paranormal stories from the web. As always, you can find all episodes, along with social media links, on the podcast page, and also other ways to contact me, and that would be salcedoparanormal.podbean.com. That's S-A-L-S-I-D-O, paranormal.podbean.com. Always happy to hear from you all, whether you have comments or questions or topic suggestions or stories of paranormal experiences, whether they're your own or from others that you trust. Happy to either read those or have you join me on the show to talk about them. Thank you all for listening, whether you are here for the live streams on Discord or if you listen on the podcast or YouTube feeds or on the Trouble Minds Radio Network, KUAP Digital Broadcasting. There you can hear replays of two episodes of the show every night at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, right before Trouble Minds Radio comes on. As always, I want to thank Michael Strange, host of Trouble Minds Radio, as well as Liam Martin, host of the Exile Minds podcast, for producing these shows and putting them up on the station, along with the music that you hear at the beginning and end of every episode. If you'd like to support the show, there are some different ways to do that. You can always share the show with others and rate and review it on your favorite podcast platform. You can also sign up to the Patreon page and get one extra episode of these true paranormal stories on the web every month. And that is for anyone that signs up to any of the paid membership tiers there. You can also find books I've written, paranormal fiction and nonfiction. I can't remember if I said that or not, so I'm saying it now, over on Amazon. And then, of course, you can always send a one-time donation through PayPal. Help is never expected, but always appreciated, as there are expenses in doing these shows, from equipment to research materials to travel expenses in some cases. And I think that covers everything. So tonight we're going to start with the story that I tried to read the other night, and could not find half of the story, thanks to a setting over there in Microsoft Word that I had to change. So that's what we're going to start with tonight, so that I'm not leaving everyone hanging with that for long. And so let's get to the file and get started. So let's see. Okay, this is actually I'm really. I wanted to share this one because I really find it interesting, the concept of it anyway. So this one says, once I find out, there you go. My mom had a dream shortly after her grandma's passing. It took place in the family's summer house, where we go and visit sometimes. My mom walked into the living room and saw her grandma sitting in a chair. My mom asked her grandma why she was there. Her grandma responded, expressing difficulty entering heaven due to all the paperwork that she had to fill out. Her grandma mentioned that she and a friend had spent the day signing papers and filling out forms. My mom found the concept amusing, and still smiles when recalling the story. And that's where that one ends. And it's amazing because it brings to mind, of course, my favorite movie, which is Beetlejuice. And the way they're in that movie, in that fictional universe, you could say, there is this bureaucracy that handles, I guess, the passing, the transferring of people from the world of the living to whatever is there is in the afterlife, and it's not just the office. That is not the end of everything. That's not the afterlife, so to speak. It's sort of like a process to get from one place to another. You have to go through this office, and so, and that is a major point, or a major scene, setting, I should say, in that movie, in Beetlejuice, which I'm looking forward to, but also dreading the sequel that's coming out later on this year. But I will see it because I have to, because it's a sequel to my favorite movie. But anyway, I'm really amazed that this came up in an account of an experience, because it just makes me wonder, is that part of that movie, is that setting, that office complex, whatever it is there something like that? Does something similar exist? How literal was the writer's, I guess, to be great-grandmother? How literal was she being when she was talking about paperwork and filling out forms to get into heaven, whatever that might be? Was it more just a metaphor for sort of the process just taking a long time in general? Or is there some kind of a verification process, even if it's not paperwork? Is there some kind of a system? And again, some kind of an office system, even if it's not sort of visualized the way that we would think of it. And I mean, obviously not the way it was visualized in the movie, because that movie was it was a dark comedy, and it was also just a lot of people, I remember hearing about people say it was just a weird movie. So I don't know, but I just love that there's this account of this sort of possibly a similar experience to what is in a movie, a fairly well-known movie. So, I really wanted to share that account there, because it's an idea that I have a book that I've started a couple of years ago, and that concept is part of that book, because I've always wanted to sort of work that into a book at some point. And so I'm hoping to get back to that writing process within the next month or so, maybe 2 months here. But I'll keep everyone posted on that once that happens, once I get back to writing again, maybe more often. So, so that's the first story there I wanted to share for tonight. So we can move on to the next one here. I could probably talk about that whole office complex idea for another 20 minutes, but that would not do because I've already talked about it. So let's see here. There is a window I need to close because I don't need it anymore. Let's see here. Okay, save. Okay, there we go. It's causing an extra step in my process here, and it was not helping. So I had to close it. Okay, so this one says, about 4 years ago, I was visiting a friend at their house across the street from my own house. They walked me home, but before I arrived, my mother and her boyfriend saw a figure resembling me in a nightgown and with their hair down in the hallway. Though I was wearing a t-shirt, jeans, and I had my hair up. My mother tried to talk to this figure, even asked her boyfriend if he saw it as well. He confirmed that he did, and they were both freaked out. A month or two later, a different friend was at the house, same house, sitting on the living room couch. They saw a vivid figure of me walking towards my bedroom closet from the bathroom. They tried to talk to me, in quotation marks there, but then realized that I was still in the shower. My friend was so frightened, they almost jumped in the shower with me. This last event happened at a new location, a new apartment, I've lived in for the last 3 years. There were no more sightings until last year, when my boyfriend heard my voice and saw me walk into the bathroom. But then he found me asleep in our bedroom with my young niece, who was visiting at the time. This other me never caused any real harm, but it still doesn't make any sense. I'm guessing the niece was a kid or something and they were just staying over to visit. But yeah, that's an odd one there. It sounds like a doppelganger in a way. But I still always wonder about that. Is it some other entity that is trying to mimic the person? I think that's always a possibility, and it probably does happen. But also I wonder about time anomalies and even sort of maybe connections between parallel alternate universes where maybe the people that saw this writer, this person, in all those situations, maybe they were seeing a version of this person, just not the one that they knew. And that may even explain why, in the last account there, in the last sighting, the boyfriend heard the writer speak and then saw them. So it wasn't even just an image. It was a voice. And again, if it was someone, some other version of this person that wrote this and submitted this online to a website, if it was just another version of them, that other version may have also still recognized the boyfriend, if the boyfriend was also in that other universe. So just possibilities there with all those things, I think, are important to keep in mind, because I think there are other possibilities. I don't think there's ever just one reason for things to happen. It seems like there's always multiple causes, possible causes for things. Not that I know any of this for sure, but based on all the just when you start to listen to or read all these accounts of these experiences, I mean, now I've probably gone through a few hundred or more. You start to see patterns, and I think anyone that looks into any topic will tell you that can happen. So that's that one. I think I'll move on to the next one here, and we'll get through a couple more. A couple of these are shorter today than they can be at times. So usually I only get through three, but I think this one will get through a couple more. Let's see here. Okay, this next one says, this happened at night while my son and I were visiting my aunt's house. My son woke me up to use the bathroom, as he couldn't reach the light switches on his own. I noticed an unusual cold in the bathroom, despite the current warm weather. There was no air conditioning in the house. Once we were back in bed, my son mentioned seeing a, in quotation marks, cloud, out of quotation marks there, above him. I looked and saw it was somewhat illuminated. It appeared to move from the bottom of the bed up along the side I was on and out the door. I told my son that it was nothing to worry about. The next morning, I woke up before my son and headed to the kitchen. My aunt was there, and she asked if I went upstairs to her bedroom last night. She heard someone on the stairs. Of course, I hadn't. I told her about the cold bathroom and the cloud. My aunt suggested it might have been her deceased father visiting. He regularly checked in on her when he was alive. We agreed not to discuss any of this in front of my son. We didn't want him to be frightened. My son woke up later and mentioned the cloud right away. He described its movement exactly as I perceived it. My aunt and I explained that it was probably my grandfather checking in on all of us so that my son wouldn't be frightened. I find this idea comforting. I'm not afraid of death, as I work in healthcare and have seen people pass. It is only hard for those that are left behind in the end. And that's where that story ends. So I wonder about that. I'm hoping that, of course, they, the writer there and their aunt were right about that. And it's always hard to say for sure because we weren't there, obviously. I think a lot of cases people will hope that it's a certain someone that they know, or other cases they'll be able to sort of feel or sense that it's that person. So I don't know which was the case there. It sounds like they were just hoping, but maybe I'm wrong there because it doesn't go into detail about that. Just sounds like, though, it was an active house, at least that night, with the cold spot in the bathroom, which, of course, on its own maybe could be written off. The self-illuminating cloud, small cloud, basically, because usually when you think of clouds, they're bigger, inside the room, that's kind of odd. Excuse me. and then, of course, the footsteps on the stairs that the writer and their son weren't even aware of because their room was on the ground floor. So everyone in the house, it sounds like, that was there was having experiences that night. So, excuse me. So yeah, just sounds like it was an active place, at least for that night, if nothing else. But it does sound like the aunt has had experiences before this. So yeah, that's a neat one there, just because of all the, you had three witnesses to different things, two to the same thing at the same time. So I always find that neat when that happens, when you can get sort of confirmation like that. So moving on to the next story here. Let's see what this one is. Okay. All right. So this one says, I have worked at my current job for nearly 7 years. It's in a 250,000 square foot former factory building. While picking candles in the candle company I started at, I saw someone in a white t-shirt out of the corner of my eye. At first, I thought I was just seeing things, until my coworkers confirmed it's E. And again, I don't use names in these accounts, so that's why I'm just using a letter. It says, until they confirmed it was E, a deceased forklift operator, a driver. E died in a forklift accident while wearing a white t-shirt. The candle company went out of business, replaced by a modular construction company. Not wanting to be unemployed, I applied for a job at this new company and got hired at the to work at the front desk. I have had other experiences while working in this building. The first one that happened while I was in my new job was that the faucet turned on by itself in a dark upstairs restroom. But I'm not the only one. My boss has heard unexplained whistling at 3 a.m. when he knew he was the only person in the building. He told me about this, and I told him what I had heard about E and my own experiences with him as well. One day, the doors unexpectedly flew open in front of everyone. The glass lobby doors sometimes refuse to unlock for me until I wait a moment. I think that E enjoys the company and is lonely. We acknowledge E's presence and encounter him frequently to this day. So that's where that one ends. Sounds like an active place. And It just sounds like many people there have experiences. And even from, again, one company to the other that moved into the location with only that one. Well, I guess I don't know if it was only that one person, but with the writer there having experiences before and or with the first company and the second company. But then again, having people having experiences there besides them. So, yeah, I don't know for sure, obviously, if it's the person that they think it is, but it also could be. Those workplace anomalous events, those workplace hauntings, if you want to call them that, or hotspots of paranormal activity in work settings, those are always amazing to me because, like I always say, it's not a haunted house. It's not an old house that looks like it should be haunted, or an old hospital or hotel that looks like it should be haunted. It's just a place where work is done. It's not meant to be lived in or stayed in as far as relaxing in. So it's just something totally different there. And so yeah, those kinds of experiences to me are always amazing because of that different kind of a setting that people are in, and I'm guessing a frame of mind as well. So let me see here. So I think that's where I'm going to leave it with, as far as I have more stories here, not one more story. I think I can. No, I don't know. I'll do it. I'll try. This next one says, I was out for a walk on a trail in a park with my son in his stroller. There was a sudden eerie silence on the path. I felt uneasy, and my baby went quiet as well. At one point, I noticed an older, run-down building. The path in this area also looked strange, as if it hadn't been established yet. I decided to turn the stroller around and leave the area. I tried to act like nothing was weird, talking to and interacting with my baby as I walked. For some reason, I felt like I shouldn't say my son's name out loud. At one point, I saw a figure in the distance that wore some kind of a cloak and hood, though I couldn't see any facial features. It was transparent as well. A moment later, it vanished. Once I crossed a bridge I recognized and got back to the main area in the park, the sounds of nature rushed back in around me. I was relieved and sped up to get out of the park. Overall, it was a strange experience. That's where that one ends. Sounds like possible trip to another dimension, another time, possibly with the trail not looking like it did. Who knows what that hooded, cloaked figure was, especially if it was transparent. But again, I do think time and dimensional anomalies can make things look weird, even if they're not. But still, it could have also been something else that was able to be transparent. So a lot of things going on there. The weird silence. It's possible they went through some kind of a temporary portal, and that's why everything looked so weird to them, and felt so weird to them. So, a lot of commonalities there in that account and others that I've heard over the last few years and read over the last few years of weird things happening out in nature. So. But that's all for tonight. Thank you all for listening, and I will talk to you all on the next episode of Salcedo Paranormal. Take care.